This morning, we're going to learn about a project to reintroduce a herd of plains buffalo to the Red Lake Nation. And here to tell us about it are Sherilyn Spears, the project coordinator for Red Lake Economic Development and Planning, Henry Donnell, the buffalo manager, and Cade Ferris, Red Lake tribal archaeologist. Welcome, you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sherilyn, tell us about this project and how it got started.
Good morning. The project started about 4 or 5 years ago, the idea, and it came from the community. The tribal chairman had a series of meetings in each district, and the people were asking, how come we can't have locally grown vegetables available to us in Buffalo? And so from there, the planning began, and we became a member of the Intertribal Buffalo Council, and we submitted a grant for them for fencing, water source, and supplemental feed. And our tribal archaeologist, Cade, has been instrumental in helping, as Henry, in the planning process.
Okay, so you've got a big plan that's going on, that has been going on. And Henry, you are the farm manager, and most of us have heard of buffalo or bison, but we don't really know a lot about them. Tell us what these animals are like.
Well, a lot of people think they're mean, and they're big and mean, but actually they're not. You know, they're a lot easier to manage than cattle, they say, you know. But I never managed cattle, so, you know. Actually, it's fun taking care of buffalo.
What is their temperament like, then? You say that people say they're mean, but they're not? Are they kind of calm, or how do they?
Yeah, most of the time they are calm,
mostly,
yeah.
Mostly calm.
But you're not really supposed to approach a buffalo. You know, like driving through the Black Hills, they always say don't approach the buffalo.
Yes, you never go inside the pasture on foot, you know. When I used to do it, I used to be on a bobcat, a skid steer machine, and, you know, there you're safe, you know. And,
sure.
But the buffalo liked that because that's what fed them a lot, you know.
And yeah, and it's bigger than them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were telling us about, you know, how the buffalo, you know, when they have calves, and they're pretty independent, right? They're just less maintenance than a cow. You were saying that you wouldn't even want to go close to one while it's having a calf, let alone...
No, the mother one will protect the calf, you know, pretty strong, you know, and you just don't dare try to go near it, otherwise you're going to get probably run over by the mother.
Yeah. How big are they?
Most times they're like probably 1,500 pounds, but I've seen bulls that are usually, they get up to 2,000 pounds. Gets to be pretty big animals.
Yeah. Wow. A majestic animal, a great big...
Yep.
Yeah, with a lot of history.
Well, you have to build a special kind of fencing?
Yes, you do.
That's Cade.
Yes, I'm Cade. Well, with the buffalo, it's not really that you have to have so much special fencing, just that you have to have a nice solid fence, like a five-wire fence. We're going to actually do the fence with the electric wire on top, and that will allow the buffalo to have something that they kind of respect. That's the main thing, is buffalo will go where they want to go. It doesn't matter what kind of fence you make. They'll go through it if they want to. Hmm. You have to make sure they get what they need. They need to have water and food and, you know, have enough room to just kind of move around, and they'll stay where they're at. If you don't give them what they want, they'll go.
Ah, so this is more than just a buffalo farm. It's not exactly archaeology either, and you are the archaeologist, but you've been involved in something like this before. What is your role in this project?
Well, I spent about a good part of the last 15, 20 years, I was the director of natural resources for the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa in North Dakota, and our department was focused around the buffalo. Rather than being like, you know, game and fish and doing those type of things, we looked at buffalo as kind of the centerpiece of a good, strong cultural program. So it became part of our tourism program, our outdoor recreation program, and we made buffalo the centerpiece of all of that. And it was really great because it gave the community something to kind of rally around. And I think that's one of the main things with Buffalo for Red Lake. Like Sherilyn said, the community wants this. And if the community wants it, it's going to be a success.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
So how does that work? Because, you know, Henry was just saying these are pretty big animals. They're pretty independent, but yet it combines that with some tourism. How does that all work?
And education too. We incorporated it into the school system. The kids would come out every year. We'd talk about buffalo. We'd give kids a chance, high school kids a chance to work with the buffalo, have summer youth programs where the kids got to be involved, actively hands-on. And so it was a really great way to kind of bring it from, I guess, from birth to old age, because we'd also incorporate the buffalo into the elderly meals programs for the tribe, because it's great for diabetes, heart disease. And one of the great things about buffalo is its health component. When you look at the native diet over the last 100 years, it's been completely affected by colonialism, processed foods, sugars, starches. But buffalo is natural, and so it's a way to get back to that original healthy diet that the people want at Red Lake.
Yeah, so how do you guys know how to say buffalo in Ojibwe Mo'en?
Meshkere Bijuki.
Meshkere Bijuki.
Meshkere is prairie.
Prairie.
And Bijuki is like big animal.
Yeah, it's like buffalo.
So, Henry, are there various kinds of buffalo? These are plains buffalo. Are the ones that people raise for meat the same as these buffalo, or are these a different kind of buffalo?
Yes, I think they're the same.
They're okay. Just all the same?
Well, there's different buffalo. In Europe, they have what's called a wisent or a wisent, and that's a wild buffalo in Europe. And then up in northern Canada, up towards the Yukon, Northwest Territories, they have a wood bison.
Yeah,
which is a little bit different, kind of shorter and longer. But what we have in America, they're 100% what's called the plains bison or plains buffalo.
They get bigger than the prairie, right?
They get longer. Size-wise, they're pretty comparable. They're a little bit, like I said, stubbier in a way, I suppose, adaptation to the colder temperatures and things like that.
So these are basically the same animals that roam the plains that we hear about, that were in great big herds and built the soils of the plains. These are the same bison, buffalo that we grew up hearing about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what's really great is we don't think about bison being in Minnesota, but you got to remember that northern Minnesota, northwest Minnesota, was part of that bison range. And so the Red Lake people historically were hunting buffalo. It's just that you had that European influence that decimated the bison through the Red River Valley, which kind of severed that tie for Red Lake back in around maybe 1850, 1860. And so it's a great way to bring that back into the culture, is, return the buffalo back to the people. And that, I think, is the key aspect of this whole process. It's reintroducing it to Red Lake, but reintroducing it to the people as well.
How many buffalo will be coming?
Okay, so we plan on getting 30 buffalo. They'll all be teenagers. We'll be getting them from the Wind Cave National Park, and they'll be 100% buffalo. And then prior to that, we're going to be finding some adults, because buffalo are a family. They have the elders, the adults, the teens, and the young ones. And the adults are very protective of the elders and the babies, and that's why you can't get too close to them. And so with our four-year plan, is the first year we're going to fence in 80 acres and 200 the next year, 100 the following year, and 90-some took total in fencing in will be 576 acres. And so from there, we will, again, have the four-year plan and start out with 30 and get some adults. And we'll be having the Turtle Mountain Bison Farm helpers come and help us construct a fence, and we'll be training in our members at the same time, and then from there on our own members will be finishing off the fencing.
And then the school children and folks can come and see the animals, and they can eat the buffalo, and hopefully
that's the plan. That's the plan, is to introduce it to the elderly nutrition program, to get it in the schools. And so we're feeding our children buffalo instead of beef or any processed foods.
Yeah.
And the elders.
So, Henry, what has to be prepared for these buffalo? What do they need? And where is this farm?
It's along the Clearwater River, a couple of farms that the tribe bought, and it's north of Gonvick. I kind of forget how many acres there is out there altogether with both farms.
A little over 1,000, I think.
Okay.
1,000 acres.
Do they require high quality feed, or what do you feed a buffalo?
A buffalo, they just need grass, hay, and that's all. And, you know, they eat is grass and make sure they have water, you know. And I used to give mine a protein tub, you know, in the winter months, you know, just, you know, so they get their protein and mm-hmm. molasses type stuff. And but otherwise, other than that, you know, it's simple.
Yeah. How long did you raise buffalo before?
Probably about 15 years or so.
So you've been around these animals, and
yes,
know what they need and how they grow and
yep.
what to do.
You guys talked a little about, well, we talked about using the meat. What other kind? What other parts of the buffalo will be used, and how?
Well, I mean, you definitely look at the hide. I mean, you can use the hide as a robe with the fur on. You could also tan the hide, use the leather for rawhide or for any other purpose. Also, the skulls, a lot of artists love to use the skulls, or else people use them for ceremonies. And then you have other parts that can be purposed, sinew and various things like that. The main thing is to be able to utilize it as best you can. And so that's community effort. People like artists would be part of the program eventually, you know, getting some of the cultural people involved. All those type of things are what makes it such an important community focus, because it brings everybody together to kind of make the best out of the buffalo.
What do you hope the impact will be on the Red Lake community from having this farm? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, we're hoping to have a lot of things happen, mm-hmm. and the main thing is to be feeding our members healthy food and teach them the importance of family and taking care of one another. And we'll be showing our youth how to process the meat, and they'll be involved in taking down the buffalo and processing it. And so again, yeah, it'll be a diet, good diet, and culture awareness. And also at the farm, we also plan on having an orchard, and we can see 10 high tunnels out there, and we can see an interpretive center and a big tall observation tower.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be definitely more than just the buffalo right. farm, and include all ages. And
it is great, because you just start with that little seed. You just plant that seed and it grows big. I mean, we wound up at Turtle Mountain starting with our buffalo, and by the time we were done, we had a full office with a staff of 11 people, campsites, recreation programs, all sorts of things going on throughout the year. And so it's just that one little tiny seed that Sherilyn wants to plant, which is a couple of buffalo. And it should grow from there.
You know, Sherilyn, you're with this group called Economic Development and Planning. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of good things about that in Red Lake. Tell us a little bit about that department.
Okay. So the couple of the initiatives they have right now is the food initiative. And the plan there is to provide locally grown foods and have it available to the members. We have our art initiative. We want to support our artists, because we found out that we have, after doing a list of Red Lake businesses, that a majority of over 100 artists, and that was in everybody. We also have the Constitution Reform Initiative, where we're revamping our constitution. And also, and last but not least, is our Language Revitalization Initiative, where we're going to bring back our language. And right now we're in our fourth year of our language immersion program, so we have some that are into first grade already.
And when are these buffalo arriving? When are the first ones going to show up?
Well, once we get the fence and the everything set up this summer, they usually do the roundup around October out at Wind Cave National Park. And I guess it's really majestic. I've never experienced it personally, but my guys told me they actually have helicopters flying, separating the buffalo and getting them all penned up to be taken away by the tribes. So,
wow.
Henry's going to get to enjoy that.
Yeah. Well, you guys, thank you for coming in today, and the best of luck with this new venture.
Miigwech for having us.
Thank you much.
That's Sherilyn Spears, Henry Donnell, and Cade Ferris. They're leading the project to bring Plains Buffalo to the Red Lake Nation. And you are listening to Northern Community Radio.